We welcome everyone on this November 26, 2023, and this past week has been Thanksgiving. Here in America, a unique American holiday where we stop and we give thanks for the founding of this country, for God's blessing upon this country, and we're going to continue to give thanks to the God who gives. That is the title of the message today, part two, and we're going to be in John chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, and verse 9. Last week we looked at the bios, or the physical, the God who gives life. And today we're going to look at the Zoe, the spiritual. But before I begin, if you've been following the news, today, this very day, more hostages are to be released back to the nation of Israel. And we have had two groups that have already been released. And we want to take a moment and thank God for that this morning. And we want to pray for the continued release of these hostages who have been unabashedly taken from their families and their homelands on October the 7th. And I just want to point out, I don't want anyone to forget that as you saw in the news accounts, we had several two-year-old and three-year-olds. Then there were four and five-year-olds, and then there were some eight and nine-year-olds, and then there was one 13-year-old and one 17-year-old. I want you to understand that some of these babies are coming home now as orphans. And I don't want you to forget that, lest somebody think this organization is doing somebody a favor. Their parents were murdered in front of them, and then they were taken. And so now as they come home, they're going to be asking for mama and daddy and those things, and mama and daddy are not there. And so I want you to understand, as we pray for this, we also pray for God's wisdom for the Israeli military. Hamas needs to be destroyed totally. And so you don't stop until this organization is destroyed totally. And I'm praying for salvations of Israelites during this thing. I'm praying for the salvations of Arabs during this time, that folks will turn to Jesus. I'm praying God's protection on those that are innocent on both sides of this conflict, that they will be protected and watched over. But I also want to say today that the Islamic community within the United States of America, I've not heard from them yet. Here in Tennessee, every time there's Ramadan and holy days, Islamic holy days, we hear from the Islamic community in the mosque in Nashville, Murfreesboro, Clarksville, Chattanooga, Memphis. Their silence is concerning me. I think every Muslim in America needs to take to the streets, and they need to condemn what Hamas has done. If they want to be good neighbors to the Christians here in America, if they want to be good neighbors to the Israelites here in America, you know, I'm calling on them, let's start in Tennessee, that they would take to the streets and condemn these heinous acts where babies were killed in cribs, set on fire, etc., etc., etc. And then for the anti-Semitism that has risen, which finds its source and its root in Satan alone, we as Christians need to stand up inside with Israelites in America and worldwide, pray for God's protection on His chosen nation and on His people. So I'm not going to be silent. I realize God's given me a platform that goes beyond this building. So I am grateful unto God that some of these children and others are being returned home, some of these elderly people. But I am not grateful to the barbarians that took these people to start with. And then I heard a news commentator on one of the net, you know, that they're showing some kind of humanity. They're showing no humanity. They are buying themselves time to rearm, re-outfit, re-attack, and this was all part of the plan. So this is God versus Satan, and it's biblical, and I'm not speaking to you politically, I'm speaking to you biblically, and we're seeing it played out before our eyes. So today, giving thanks unto the God who gives, part 2. We're in John chapter 1. We'll look at verse 3 and 4 and verse 9. Last week we looked at the bios aspect of life. God has given us life. Paul says, I am breathing, I am moving, I am existing today because God formed me in the womb, Psalm 139. He saw my organs, He saw my physical appearance, He saw my arms and my legs at the moment of conception. He had a plan for me. We looked at Job. Job said, you have put skin upon me. You have framed me with a skeleton and given me skin and movement and life and being. And as we developed that last week, I told you every time you have a loved one who is with child, pray for a healthy baby. Pray for the day of that child's salvation and pray that God's will be worked out in their lives, because from the moment of conception, God has a plan for all of us. And so He is the God of life physically. Today, we look at the God of life spiritually. The Greek word is Zoe. It's a little bit expansive of a word, and it's a little bit deep of a word, but we'll look at it in a moment. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by Him, the Word. The Word who became flesh, Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that was made. We looked at that last week in other scriptures. But in Him, in the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men, phos, P-H-O-S. And in verse 9, Jesus is the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every man. Father, as I come to you today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin, and a cleansing by your blood. And I pray to be filled with and anointed by your Spirit. Father, let me wash the feet of these who have gathered today. And let me serve them as a servant. And share with them your verses. And may your Holy Spirit be their perfect teacher. Those in this building, those that listen on this website. Father, you are the perfect teacher. And take the scriptures we look at today and apply them to the hearts and minds of those that will listen. Let them have a breakthrough, Lord. Let the light come on and let them more deeply and more fully walk with you, experiencing your presence and your guidance. So, Father, we bless you today. We thank you for a week of family, a week of health, a week of togetherness, a week where we have had more than what we need, which is usual for Americans. Father, we don't just eat a meal, we have leftover. We have abundance. We don't just survive the cold of night, Father, we have ample heat where we can get hot in our own home if it's 20 degrees outside. Father, you have so blessed America. Father, protect our servicemen, our first responders. Let us not take for granted the freedom, Father, that we now are going to have to fight for to retain from within. So, Father, help us take those stands for you and for life, we who are made in the image of God. Holy Spirit, lead us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 4, in Christ is life, and the life is the light of men. I want to give you two Greek words. The first one is Zoe, Z-O-E. For this context and for these two messages, I want you to visualize your life in two ways. Number one, the physical life. The life that breathes and eats and laughs and thinks and moves and does things. And then I want you to think of the spiritual life, the Zoe, the inner life. Zodiates, Spiros Zodiates, describes the Zoe in this context as the born again life, the life in Christ Jesus, the higher life. Your higher life is your spiritual life. Your lower life is your physical life in a biblical context and in the context of reality. You know, like Paul said, you'll spend hours taking care of your physical appearance and neglect your spirituality. So Paul's saying your higher life is found in your relationship with Jesus. And so that's what the Zoe is. Now, in verse 9, it says that Jesus is the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Now, that light, P-H-O-S, in the Greek, actually means like sunlight that shines from heaven in the physical, but it also metaphorically means a spiritual light or spiritual understanding. And so what he means, when every man is lit, he lights every man that comes into the world, God has made you with this inner capability or inner ability to receive from God direct divine revelation. God has made you with an inner ability, the inner man, where you have the capability to receive from God direct divine revelation or enlightenment from God. And I'll develop that in a moment. This light, you know, in him was life and the life was the light of man, is the revelation or the manifestation of God to man. God's truth, God's righteousness, God's purity, God's holiness, you know, as opposed to darkness. So you have the ability to receive personally and directly messages, enlightenment, understanding, comprehension of spiritual things from God. Now, I want to say very quickly, I'm using the word enlightenment biblically. You know, going back 200-300 years, you had a cultural enlightenment in Europe, and that was secular humanism. We have cults today that talk about coming into the light and all this enlightenment from a demonic, deceptive standpoint. So as I use the word enlightenment today, I am speaking of direct revelation from God to man. And when I speak about God's light, I'm speaking about how we can attempt or we can receive from God an understanding of his holiness, his purity, his virtue, his righteousness. Light as opposed to darkness. And so he is saying that he has given man this inner ability to recognize and to receive God's truth. So what we can do, we can read the Word of God, we can learn things, we can perceive things, or we can see things. And this capability begins, listen, in the mind and in the conscience. God's given you a mind and a conscience by which you can study things about God, hear things about God, and comprehend them. And he's given you a conscience by which you can know the difference between good and evil as defined by God's morality. And so you receive, you've got these mental faculties by which you can receive this information from God. And then you're going to see in a moment, you've got a spirit, a heart spirit, heart/spirit, in which the Holy Spirit's going to indwell you. But let me read this to you. I want you to understand something. Even when you receive this biblical enlightenment, you still have free will. Go with me. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then there was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, Jesus. Jesus on earth was the manifestation of God's perfect righteousness, holiness, virtue, purity, wisdom, love, that all men through him might believe. They were to see the light and say, that's him. He's the one. I need to believe in him, commit to him. John was not that light, but he bore witness that Messiah is here. Jesus, the Word, was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. You see him. You can recognize who he is. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, the nation of Israel, national Israel now. Not all individual Israelis during that generation, because many did come to Christ. And his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now let me tell you something about receiving the light of understanding from God. The purpose is to be drawn to God, but you still have free will. Look at what it says in verse 11. It said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So you can reject him. And you can reject spiritual understanding and spiritual light. And then when you come down to the next verse, verse 12, but as many as received him, they received him. So you can reject him or you can receive him. Now I'm going to get to the heart in a moment, but before I do, and you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to tell you about it. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching the sermon of Pentecost. And as you study that, when it gets to a certain point, it says the folks that listened to Peter were pricked in their heart. That's where illumination happens. They were touched in their heart. You crucified Messiah. And they believed it. And they were sorrowful. And they were repentant. And they were touched in their heart. And their response was, what shall we do? We want to repent. We want to come to Jesus. We want to put our faith and commitment into him. So I want you to understand, when we're talking about spiritual enlightenment, biblically, it moves from the mind and conscience into the heart, this special spiritual component that's been put into man and man alone. And I'll get to it in a moment. But it's heart, spirit. Okay, heart / spirit. Your spirit is your heart. I'll show you. Interchangeable in two verses in a moment. Then you get to Acts chapter 7. Stephen is basically preaching the same message to Israelites, saying, you crucified the Lord. This bunch, it also says, gets penetrated to the heart. They get angry. They stop their ears up. They start feeling some maybe guilt in their conscience, but their pride's not going to allow that. So they don't say, what must we do? We want you to baptize us. They attack him as a mob, beat him up, bite on him, and gnash on him with their teeth, and then stone him to death. So I want you to understand, it works both ways. Every man is lighted. Every man has the capability to receive divine illumination, understanding, comprehension of the things of God. But whether or not you receive it or reject it, it's up to the individual with free will. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. Now, no, I'm sorry. We don't need to go there yet. Go to John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 8. And let me just drive this point home, then we'll go to Romans 8. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So once you make the commitment to Jesus, the light of God's righteousness, truth, purity floods into the depth of your soul. And you know that He has entered into you. And you receive this false P-H-O-S as if sunlight shined into your heart. Go with me to John chapter 9, verse 5. John chapter 9, verse 5. And Jesus teaching the nation of Israel 3.5 years. He says this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so physically, Cleo, He was the light of the world. Now we have the Word of God. You're going to see that in a moment that points us to the light of the world. Go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. So He is the manifestation of the purity, the holiness, the brightness, the glory of everything, the righteousness of God. John chapter 12, verse 34. And the people answered and said, we have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And you're talking about being lifted up. Who is the Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. He was only going to be there for a couple of years. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have light, me, believe in the light. Believe, I am the one. I'm being presented before you, that you may be the children of light. Because if you reject him, you continue to be children of darkness. And then go back to John chapter 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture. This is your Zoe, your spiritual life, lighted by Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, you've got this. If you've not, you need it. John chapter 3, we know that for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. But notice what He goes on to say in verse 19. The condemnation, this is the condemnation. Light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So what I want you to understand is that bunch that killed Stephen or stoned Stephen, they didn't want to come to the light because they were full of pride and full of evil, and they didn't want their lives changed. They didn't want anything to change in their lives. And so they said, even if we feel the message is true, we're going to kill the messenger. Even though we're starting to see the light of some truth, maybe He was Messiah. Maybe He was sent to us. Maybe we did do wrong when we betrayed Him and crucified Him. Even as that inkling comes in, and it still happens today, people will shut off the messenger so they don't have to hear the message. So at first, as you're drawn to God, you've been given the capability through your mind and your conscience to receive the truth about God and to know it is truth, and to reason it and logically follow it if you'll continue on that path. But then it gets to the heart. And that's what we want to talk about. The Zoe is the heart of man, the spirit of man. And I'm using heart and spirit interchangeably. So go with me to Romans 8. And you've got to understand God has made you this way. And I'm just going to pause and say that again. God has made you this way. God has made you the most unique part of creation, the highest level of creation, man, humanity. You are the highest level of creation. You are made in the image of God so that you can know God personally, commune with Him, speak to Him, and hear Him speak to you. This is your Zoe, your spiritual life, your born-again life, and it exists within your heart, within your spirit. You have a body, you have a soul. Your body's physical. Your soul is your mental, your emotions, you know, your abilities to think and rationalize, but your spirit is a component that only man has deep within his soul by which the Spirit of God can come in and unite with your spirit. And they become one in the eyes of God. And we call it the spirit, or we call it our heart. And God speaks to our heart. He guides our heart. He convicts our heart. But your spirit is your most innermost depth of your soul. And only humanity has that. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says this. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. The Spirit of God dwell in you. Verse 14. I'm going to show you how this works. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So when the Spirit of God is in you, you have received not only the capability to have Him come in you and reside, you have the capability and the ability to follow direct leadership and guidance from God. And this is number one on a long list I'm going to give you. Don't neglect this. Don't downplay it. Don't doubt it. This is a huge part of who you are and how you've been made by God. You have the ability to follow God specifically in every area of your life. Now, notice what he says. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. Now, I want you to understand something. This is a second capability, and it's general, but I'm going to go ahead and touch it now. God gives and you receive. Understand that. You have the innate inner man ability to receive things from God. The voice of God, the guidance of God, the conviction of God. You have been made where you can receive things of God. You have eternity in your mind and in your heart and this understanding that there is more to life than what I'm living now. There must be. We see it in the ancient civilizations, the Indians. They would worship gods they did not know. But somewhere deep inside, there's this existence of the afterlife and this existence of a higher creator and all of these things. This has been placed in you by God. This is how you're made. However, with the revelation of the Bible and the Word of God and Jesus coming to earth, we can specifically know who this God is and how He deals with us. But notice what it says, verse 16. Once you receive, in verse 15, the Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father, because the Spirit Himself, sent by God, bears witness, testifies to my spirit, that I am a child of God. I'm going to tell you something right now, and I hope it awakens you. No man, no religion, no ritual tells you that you are a child of God. No outward source can tell you, man-made, that you are a child of God. I've had folks in the last 39 plus years meet with me on occasions and say things like, Brother Leo, do you think I'm saved? And to be honest with you, a lot of times I've had to answer, I've not thought about it. I've assumed you were. You know, I assume that about most folks that I deal with. Because they come to church, quote unquote. But I want you to understand, no man can tell you whether or not you are a child of God. It is an inner reality. Listen to me. Look at what it says. When you receive the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your inner man, the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit and your heart and tells you, now you are saved, and you cry out, now I'm a child of God. Either out loud or within your spirit or within your mind, you know that you are now a child of God. This is your Zoe. Your born again spiritual life begins at that point. You've got the bios up to that point, but there's an emptiness there in the spirit and in the heart. And once His Spirit comes in, you begin living the eternal life, the higher life in Christ Jesus. And it begins at salvation. So He comes in and testifies the truth. And this truth flashes in your mind about yourself. Okay? I'm saved. I'm of God. And you know it at that moment. Right now you can think back on it. However many decades ago it was. So the Spirit comes into your spirit. Go to Galatians 4. And this is why I use it interchangeably. Paul is the same writer that wrote Romans 8. He wrote Galatians 4. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, he says this. He said, Jesus came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's exactly what He said in Romans 8. You're now a child of God. You've been adopted into the family. And your spirit hears from the Spirit of God, you're saved. And in your depth, you know you're saved. And then He goes on to say this. And because you are a child, when God sees saving, committed faith in your heart and mind, that you're making a commitment unto Him, God sends forth the Spirit of His Son from heaven into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So where does the Holy Spirit go? It goes into your heart. In Romans 8, He goes into your spirit. So the heart and the spirit are the same in these verses, and the depth of the heart. And you say, how do you know the Holy Spirit comes from heaven? Because Jesus told the disciples, I must go to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'll be able to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, unto you. And so now the Spirit of Jesus is on earth, whereas before Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily was on earth for 33 and a half years. And before that, God dealt with them through the law. And was also dealing with them through the law during the four Gospels as He was presenting Himself as the Messiah of Israel. And so the Holy Spirit comes in. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and you're going to see more about the light. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter is speaking in verse 16, 17, and 18 about hearing the voice of God from heaven during his experience with Christ on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And he heard God the Father say, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. But then in verse 19, he says this. He said, we now have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. Here we go again, the light shining in a dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. And he's talking about verse 20. The study of the Scriptures, he goes into that. But before he does that, I want to give you verse 19. Take heed as a light that shines in a dark place. God's truth penetrates us. It speaks to our hearts. It shines unto us. It biblically enlightens us with understanding. The first understanding is the day star, Jesus. You have to come to an understanding that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And that day star dawns. And you have this spiritual breakthrough. You can fight it for 30 years, Cleo. And then, man, like out of nowhere, you get this breakthrough. Everything Mama prayed about, everything Mama said, now I see it clearly. And you look back and you say, how in the world didn't I see it? Because the darkness was overriding the light. But then the light comes in, shines in, and breaks through, and you have a spiritual breakthrough of understanding. And I want to say, I'm going to show you other scriptures here in a moment. That's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. As we grow in Christ, we are to get a fuller and a deeper understanding of the truths of God by His Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. Look, verse 21. The Word comes from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All Scripture comes from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that is why I can grow in my understanding, and God reveals more and more to me about Him, about myself, about the precepts and the doctrines and the wisdom and the understanding of the Word of God that allows me to build a foundation to go through life. But the first spiritual breakthrough is the day star, Jesus, coming into your heart. So now you know. Now I know what, really? Well, I got a friend in Charleston. She's crazy. She's in her 70s. I loved her dad. He was a game warden. She started this thing called Tips for the Holidays. And her first tip last week was at the Thanksgiving dinner, make sure you discuss politics. And then she has the dot, dot, dot pause. And then you can subtract several Christmas gifts off your list that you'll have to get. She goes, tip number one, more tips to follow. You ever discuss the scriptures with people and you wonder why they can't get it? Why they can't see it? The day star's got to dawn first. If the day star's not in there, look at what he said. Who's that? Jesus said, I'm the bright morning star. If that spiritual breakthrough has not yet occurred, and the Holy Spirit, the light of God, is not there to illuminate an individual to the truth of God, why can I see it? Why can Kathy see it? Why can Ken see it? And this guy over here, he don't see any of it, man. There's no... Because they don't have the light. You gotta have the light. And the first light has got to be Jesus. Well, I don't believe they would have stoned Stephen. No, but their religious pride, their carnal pride, their worldly pride, whatever it is, it keeps them from coming to Jesus and having the light. And so this is your Zoe. You know, don't doubt it. Don't downplay the reality of how God has made you so that He can communicate with you, so you can communicate with Him, so He can reveal things to you, etc., 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 about your life, decisions you need to make. I want you to understand, as real as your physical life is, this is how real your spiritual life is. Your physical life's going to end, but your spiritual life won't. It's the higher life. Don't think God just spoke to Paul. God just speaks to Brother Leo. God just speaks to the priest down at the Catholic Church. No, God communes with everyone, and every man has been lighted to receive divine revelation and illumination from the true living God of the Bible. And that's your. And I thank God for making me this way. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, God, for making me so that I can commune with you. Thank you, God, for making me so that I know I'm never alone. Thank you, God, for making me that I know how bad this life gets. There is eternity. There is heaven. I've got loved ones there. You're going to get me through. I want to thank you, God, for making me this way and for giving me the ability to understand these things. Go with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And I've already mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it again. Once the Holy Spirit comes in your heart, in John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says this, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and when he comes into your heart, he'll guide you into all truth." I'm going to use the word. I'm not even sure if it's a real word. But God has made me guidable. He has given me the capability to receive guidance from God. You got a major decision coming up? You need to get along with God and receive his guidance. He'll give it to you. You are made with that capability to be guided by God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the scripture says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Now, how is God? "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." I have been made to receive spiritual revelation from God. You have too. God will reveal things to you between you and God. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Grab hold of that "freely given." You have been made to receive what God desires to freely give you in the mental, in the emotional, in the depth of your spirituality. Whether it's peace, whether it's comfort, whatever you need, God is willing. You can receive divine intervention and these divine gifts from God into your soul and into your spirit. And sometimes you won't even be able to explain it. You have to say, "I don't know why I have peace. Everything's breaking loose around me, but I have peace." That's because God imparted it to you. You've been made to be a receiver. A lot of times people just think something comes to their mind. "You know, this just came to my mind." I try to say as much as I can, "God brought this to my mind. God brought this to my mind. God brought this to my heart." You know, I wasn't even thinking about it, and then God brought this to my mind. You have been made a receiver of the things for God to give you. Verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." I want to add another word to guidable. I want you to understand you've been made to be teachable by God. The Holy Spirit teaches. You can receive teaching from the Holy Spirit about his word, about your life, about why you feel the way you do, why you're like you are. I need to continually be taught by the Holy Spirit about all aspects of my life. God's made us this way. We need to be thankful. What if God, you know what these people think, that God just, he's a distant God, not a personal God? Oh my. Praise God, he is a personal God. He is an involved God. He is a detailed God. He is an intricate God. Religion's ruined it all, man. People think God lives in a stained glass house. People think they gotta listen to Latin. They don't understand. "Oh, they don't do that anymore, brother." But that's the foundation of the whole movement. People still believe in the priesthood of Brother Leo. There ain't no priesthood of Brother Leo. We're all priests. We all have access by the blood of Christ into the Holy of Holies, the presence of Jesus Christ. And we've been made this way to receive from God. But look at verse 14. "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness." If you hadn't been lighted, you don't have a chance to understand these things. "Bro, Leo, why don't you go share with so-and-so?" "Yeah, I'll go share with so-and-so. I'll ask him about his salvation." I'm not going to talk to him about the millennial reign of Christ because he ain't going to be able to understand. But I will speak about, tell me when you got born again. Well, what if he tells you? Well, if it's biblical, we got somewhere to start. If it's not, I'm going to say it's not biblical. Bah, wrong answer. You and I aren't indwelt by the Spirit. But I do love you enough to talk to you about becoming truly indwelt by the Spirit. So enlightenment, biblically now, not Buddhism. Enlightenment, biblically, begins with that day star and then it continues more fully. As we can understand precepts, doctrines, you know, life, moral, salvation. Let me close out Ephesians 1. Look what Paul's praying. I'll give you a couple of his prayers. Ephesians 1, verse 15, Paul says this, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, of love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks to you. And this is what I make mention of you in my prayers, as I'm thanking God. I thank the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that, here we go again, He may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, and He may give unto you revelation in the knowledge of Him. You've been created to receive the spirit of wisdom from God and the spirit of revelation in more and more knowledge of Him. You've been made this way. Don't neglect so great a salvation. The eyes of your understanding, there's that word, have been enlightened. I've been made by God with the capability of understanding this. If you're on the website, I'm holding up a Bible. I've been made by God with the capability to understand the Word of God through the personal teaching of the Holy Spirit, and also finding good Bible teachers, reading them, listening to them on radio, television, internet, or certain websites you can study. But also I can receive understanding. And he goes on and on and on. Let me see, where do I want to go quickly? I think Ephesians 3. Go with me. Yeah, to Ephesians 3. Notice what he prays in verse 16 of Ephesians 3. He says that he would grant you, all right? He would grant you. He would give unto you, Ephesians, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's another one, all right? Inner man. The inner man. That's what I'm teaching on you today. Not the outer man, but the inner man. And all the capabilities and all the potential of the inner man. I can get inner strength, Cameron, to get me through crisis in life. Inner strength from God. Divine strength. The strength that created the universe can be imparted unto me to receive inner strength. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you would be rooted and grounded in love. I can grow in love. I can grow. My faith can be strengthened. And here I go again. That I may be able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. What does that mean? That means I'm never going to know fully the love of Christ, but I can expand in my knowledge of it. I can grow in my knowledge of it. Good Lord willing, in January, we're going to study wholeheartedness. We're going to try to commit our whole hearts unto Christ. That's biblical. Knowing we will never fully do that, but we need to start making a conscious commitment to it, because we will see growth. We will see development in that. But what he's saying is, look what he says. I have the ability, verse 18, to comprehend. Verse 19, I have the ability to know and experience more and more as I get these breakthroughs in my relationship with Christ in the inner man through the working of His Holy Spirit. I want to show you just one phrase out of Galatians 1. And I believe this for all of them. And I love it. Everyone, Galatians 1 verse 11. Following Paul's conversion, he spent 3 years in the desert. God gave him revelations. This is the beginning of him talking about this. But I'm just going to show you verse 11 and 12. He goes, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I never received it of man, neither was I taught it, but I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand, I have a great advantage over Paul. I've got the Word of God. You know, I can get in the Word. I have Spirit-led teachers or commentators, so I can read and study. But I want you to also understand, my friend, that you too can receive specific direction, guidance, and a specific word from Jesus Christ directly to you. You've been made that way. But you know what I love? I love that phrase. Neither I received it of man, but I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. You know one of the greatest prayers you pray, I think, at salvation is you want to say this. And I want to say it today just based on thanking God for my salvation. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing yourself to me. Huh? That's how you get saved. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing yourself to me. For revealing in such a strong way my need of you. Hey, I'm lost and going to hell. And then revealing that you are the Savior. You are the answer. Now, it's based on knowledge. It's based on faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But then when it gets to the heart, it is a revelation of God, a breakthrough, and the day star dawns in your heart. And you may not use those words as Peter did, but that's exactly what happens. You say, I get it. I see it now. I see it now. And then it doesn't stop at salvation. It continues. You get breakthroughs in your walk with Christ. And so I want to thank God for the God who gives us life. The physical and the spiritual. Is that not wonderful? We are so taken care of in this life and in the life to come. Bios in this life, Zoe in the life now and to come. And it says a light shines in darkness. And I confess my darkness so that the light can shine. And so we thank the God who gives and gives and gives. I'm still going to be having Thanksgiving in eternity. Is that not something? I'm still going to be offering up praise and gratitude in eternity. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a few moments and say, Lord Jesus, please let me grow in realizing what you've made me capable of in the Spirit to receive from you. Lord Jesus, let me grow in realizing what you've made me capable in the Spirit of receiving from you. More fuller revelation, deeper revelation about my life, about you, about the things of God. Father, reveal more and more of yourself to me.